Okay, well, I will call the meeting to order then, and I'll start by acknowledging with much gratitude that we're meeting today on the traditional unceded lands of the Coast Salish people, and in particular, the Qualicum First Nation. So, adoption of the agenda. Do we want a mover and seconder? Do we want to do it by consent? Do you have a preference?
Okay,
I'll adopt the agenda. Okay, so Doug moves. Michael seconded. Okay. Does anybody have any changes? Okay, well, so we'll vote on the motion then for adoption. All those in favor, Marion? I don't know if you can put up your hand or something.
Can you see me?
Oh, no.
No, we can't see you.
Oh, dear. What am I not doing? All right. The whole video is off. Okay. Allow. Now can you see me?
Now we can see you.
Good. Great.
Okay.
So you're voting in favor?
Yes.
Okay. And approval of the minutes. Does anybody want to move approval? Or if there is any changes or revisions?
I just have a question. If you can circulate these any sooner after the meeting, because my recollection.
Right. I know what you mean.
They were out for a while. Aren't they on the website relatively quickly?
I'm not sure how soon we're using
them.
I think that she would check with us first and make sure they were after it before putting them on
the website. Oh, they had to be before we approved them.
Yeah, I would think so.
Is that right?
That how most of these ones, sometimes they get published as draft
until
they're voted on and they're finalized. I don't know how to
have
the protocol and where the brain's going to focus in the draft minutes or only after they've been adopted.
Okay.
So we can follow up.
Sure, yeah. It seems right.
We're publishing a draft soonish.
It's probably
normal.
I think it depends on staff. Time and what else they have on their plate sometimes. Okay, so Angela, were you gonna move that then for approval? Seconded. Doug, all those in favor?
Favor,
great. Okay, there's nothing under business arising from the minutes.
No, sorry. There are draft minutes. Okay.
I wonder whether it's just that they're being posted, but you're not aware of
these draft minutes.
Exactly.
You know, it's just notifying.
Okay, but the minutes?
Right.
I'm just going to see if I can find it.
Oh, thanks, David.
Sorry, I'm late.
That's okay. I left you a message.
Oh.
You'll get a nice message from me. I thought maybe it's
No, I'm just at the transfer station.
Oh, okay. Well, welcome.
Council minutes. There's no... when you go to minutes, you just get council minutes. You don't get...
You go down, I think.
Yeah, you can't go just to minutes. You won't find what you're looking for. So then where do you go?
It should be committee minutes.
Committee minutes?
Yeah. And then... I think Bernadette...
should post them on file, Pearl.
I could find them. That doesn't mean that they're easy to find.
Yeah.
So one of... as Brandy and I can follow up with Tony. Maybe it's a matter of sending a link to the draft that we've been posted.
And I think she sent it them as an attachment to the...
to the agenda.
To the agenda, which was helpful, because sometimes that doesn't all go together. So, recommendations from council, there's nothing at this time. Status of recommendations to council, so the two recommendations went to the June 26th meeting, and the first one was defeated, the second one was carried unanimously, so that's for the information of the committee. And then recommendations with regard to the youth member, that's still outstanding, so watch for updates on that. And then the ongoing business, so number 5, outstanding, So this was the motion that was originally forwarded to the committee from council. And we've spent some time considering the motion. And based on the conversation that was held last meeting, staff have provided a recommendation that for the committee to consider, and that would be for council to withdraw this original motion from based on the presentation from the delegation, and then further we would recommend to council that the 2026 Food Action Plan strategic initiative include the following considerations. And these were all from our discussion at the last meeting. And then the last point stays the same, and further that the terms of reference for the Select Committee on Environment and Sustainability be amended to include food security. So does anybody have any comments about staff recommendation? Maybe we should we move it first and second it to get it on the table, and then we can have a discussion around it. So Michael will move. Do we have a seconder? Oh, you'll second, Marion?
Sure.
Oh, great. Thank you. Okay.
Just for my information now, where are you?
On the agenda?
Yeah.
So it's page 3, or no, page 2 of 2.
What?
At the top. It says...
No, page 2 is page 3. It's the top of page 3 right now.
On the bottom says 3. On the top says...
Okay, page 2 of 2 at the top left-hand corner.
Yeah.
Outgoing business, outstanding motion. Is that where we are?
Oh, yeah, it's the page 2 of 2 here. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. Further, I think.
It's the paper one.
Yeah. Keep going.
That's recognition.
The next one. Keep going down. Yeah.
So the first part of that...
Page 2 of 2, and that's what... that's our list that we made.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So the first part of the recommendation is just a repeat of the original motion that was referred to the committee from council. And the second part, so that part is contained as part of the motion to be, the recommendation is to withdraw all of the first section, and then we're recommending the following creation for the 2026 Food Action Plan. I hope that makes sense.
It's interesting that, you know, we didn't really respond to the 5 that were there before, but just kind of placed them. So
yeah.
It wasn't a kind of a response. It was more like a fresh reaction. So that made me go back and look at the other 5 and say, did they get covered properly?
Right. And what?
By the 5 A's, availability, access, adequacy, acceptance, and acceptability, and agency. And those 5 do not include anything to do with environment, climate, nothing like that. Those 5 are purely about feeding people. And so I thought, is that, you know, feeding people, food action plan, sustainable? The idea is you build in sustainability, I suppose, and that isn't really directly mentioned in the second list either. And we talk about sufficiency, and we talk about the supply side, that we want to have enough food, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of what foundations you have to put under that aren't directly addressed in this list that we've provided.
Mm-hmm.
Like the foundation being that it has to be sustainable. So, for example, plant-based, you don't convert the plant-based treaty says you don't convert anything to animal providing animals for food. Nothing should be converted. If you accept that, then part of it is that you cannot convert any land whatsoever to production of animals for food. I don't know if that counts for chickens, but and eggs, right? A little
counts for eggs too. It would count for everything.
Can't provide chicken coop. Mm-hmm. can't convert your tool shed to a chicken coop here under the plant-based treaties, but he's speaking.
Right.
But I mean, I'm just wondering if, as a way to start the discussion.
Right. Well, I wonder if
anything in there for that.
I wonder if the 5As or most of them come under impacts on vulnerable members of the community, and whether they would be listed after that reference, availability, access, adequacy, acceptability. I don't know.
Sure.
So I'm a little confused. Are we saying then that this list of 5 bullets, starting with the role of government and ending in the 5As,
yeah,
is the current recommendation that those points would be kind of key inputs to the Food Action Plan strategic initiative?
That they wouldn't be.
That they?
They wouldn't be.
That they wouldn't be. Okay, that's what we're withdrawing.
That's what we're
and instead we're seeing
this other list.
Yeah.
This other list that comes on the next page.
Which we made. Correct.
Which we made, and but we're not necessarily saying that's the plan.
No, we're going to have a conversation about
right.
that. Right.
Okay,
now.
Okay. But, now I understand where we are. So that makes sense to me. Like, as Michael was just pointing out, it's not that these things are wrong, but they're incomplete and a little bit scattershot in terms of addressing all the points that we would want to cover.
I think another level, there's 2 levels that it splits into, which, you know, you mentioned the 5As. The 5As are about, like, those poor people who don't have enough food today. And then there's the other food security, like, there's a tidal wave, all the ferry terminals are disrupted. You can't get anything from the mainland for 3 months. And, you know, you're not going to bring anything up from Victoria because Victoria is more dependent. So you end up splitting islands into different areas where they're able to support themselves or not. So that kind of more general food security when there's a problem. And those are 2 different things. So obviously the 5As count for both, but as you said, the 5As seem to look like to those people who are not able to shop for food today. So that might be something to bring into it, is to kind of have an approach which supports the daily needs of everyone as close to as possible, and the other one which supports a disaster situation, and then the overall system which is ongoing.
The overall sustainability.
Yeah, the overall sustainability.
Yeah.
So you're suggesting, Michael, if we break it down into 2 major sections, one which is individual food security in terms of ability to afford and so on and so
yeah.
forth. The other is the sort of physical aspect in terms of disaster security.
The community,
yeah.
how secure the community
yeah.
is in general, because
yeah.
you know, when at the point where it doesn't matter how much money you have, there is a problem.
Yeah.
Can I, if I can speak? I wonder whether or not, when it comes to food security, this committee should take the same approach as we took to the climate change mitigation and climate change, sustainability in the face of climate change, that there are 2 major aspects to it. There is adaptation to the fact that climate change is going to have negative impacts on food security, and then there's mitigation of agriculture on exacerbating climate change. And they're sort of 2 quite different things. Maybe it would help to separate these out so that we don't end up confusing the 2.
Yeah, that's the second differentiation. They would be overlapping.
What's the first one?
The first one was the idea of having people supported for food on a daily basis. Like right now, there are people who are not getting enough food, and there's the other one where it doesn't matter how much money you have, there isn't enough food for everybody because something happened.
So these are both kind of adaptations to the current or future situation where there's food scarcity. I mean, there is now for a whole cohort of the population where they don't have access to food because they don't have enough money or they don't have good quality food. But I guess the next topic I assume that we're going to get onto is the plant-based treaty idea. And that seems to be mostly a focus on mitigation of the impacts of agriculture on the environment, on exacerbating climate change. And whereas the whole question of availability of food in a current or future crisis is more of an adaptation to climate change. And as climate change progresses, of course, this is going to become worse and worse.
That's short for me, and I think you're drawing the parallel between adaptation and mitigation of climate change and how it, a similar thing in food systems. I wonder if we can if make use of those concepts without bringing the terms adaptation and mitigation into it here, because it's always a source of confusion in the field of climate change. Often people in the public don't know what we're talking about when we distinguish between adaptation and mitigation. So why don't we roll those concepts into the key elements of food security that Michael just laid out, the kind of, and you reiterated the individual access to food in terms of people, some people don't just have the money or the ability to access it, the resilience of the food system to disasters such as something that interrupts the food supply chain, and then this third one is the long-term ecological sustainability of food production, which captures the ideas you were talking about, I think, like the environmental impacts of the food production system. Would that be helpful to have those three key items rather than the two?
I don't know. I guess I see the separating the two out as avoiding confusion in that, for instance, the plant-based diet treaty is looking at mitigation primarily, and so I think to have a clarity in our minds as to whether or not we're talking about the impacts of agriculture on the environment or the impacts of climate change on the on food systems, in my view, it would help to have those separate so that we don't get confused.
Okay, I can see what you're saying. So mitigation then would refer to our efforts to reduce the impacts of climate change on food production, whereas...
Mitigation would mean reducing the impacts of agriculture on the environment. For instance, methane emissions. This is the main focus of the plant-based treaty, that agriculture is widely thought of as the main driver of climate change. And, I mean, it's one of several drivers, but how can our own approach to agriculture in this small community not contribute toward methane?
Right. Okay. So I
and is it even that important from a perspective of a region like Vancouver Island? The impacts of our agriculture on the environment are, I would guess, somewhat limited in terms of the actual farming practices, and more of it's more like supply side. Impacts of transportation, distribution, packaging, and all that, that create the impacts.
I
think Luke wanted to jump in, did you? And then Michael?
So I was just going to say, I think that the categories of actions you're talking about, a lot of the things you brainstormed last time fit pretty nicely into those general categories. So,
yeah.
You know, maybe as a way of advancing, we could just kind of think about those two, like mitigating the damage that's caused by agriculture and adapting our food systems to changing conditions, right? I mean, that's what I'm kind of hearing. And then there's some of the items you raised from last time are just general, you know, about like how should food systems work overall. So like the first one, sure, there is a regional approach. I think that kind of spans both categories. Right?
Yeah.
Identify partnerships. Both categories. Grant availability, same. Okay, increased food storage capacity. That would fall into the adaptation category, would you say, Mary?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And I think it's, you know, resiliency usually comes up when we talk around that. And then, you know, it's part of that community food security.
Maybe resiliency is a better label in this case, right? Like kind of what Doug was saying, because the adaptation and mitigation, those terms are often confusing. I think more people have resiliency in terms of like food system resiliency. Disaster recovery capacity, I think that's resiliency, yes. Leverage plans from municipalities of overarching.
Can I just ask a question about that? I went back and looked, and the RDN did have an agricultural action plan, I think it was called. Do we know if how much of that was actioned or if it's still relevant or...
I don't know.
Being referenced?
I looked it up, and I couldn't. Their minutes stopped because they had been regular meetings for a while, but I couldn't find anything after... I think it was 2019. I'm wondering whether they stopped or COVID never started.
A small one.
Yeah. Okay. Because it looked like quite a good plan, but then again, like most plans, if they're sitting on the shelf collecting dust, then they're not a great plan, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think what staff is proposing that we support just covers a really efficient and effective way to leverage a lot of knowledge that's already out there.
Right.
I personally do support it. The one that I would question, though, is that third point where they're asking for this committee to include food security. My only question is the public safety, accessibility, and emergency committee. I can't seem to pull up what they do, and that would be my only question. Could it be in there?
So what would you need in there was... been dissolved.
Oh.
So, no.
That's why I can't see it.
But not a good fit for that one.
Right, because this doesn't feel right either. I see that, sure, there's some connections, but I feel like we're getting a little bit out of our lane. Now, I understand we're a small town, so we kind of have to just take on things, but, okay, so are any of these other committees?
Parks is still going, but... Not sure that necessarily fits.
It makes as much sense to me as Parks. I don't know. I just don't want to veer too much off of our... Anyway, it is what it is. We are a small town. I understand that.
Okay, well,
if I could just keep in mind that what we're doing is here is we're putting together kind of a list of things that should be included in the plan. We're not actually developing the plan.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes time... In a future year when council has the budget and resources to like take on the whole thing, that's when we'll make sure there's all the right expertise at the table. We're just kind of helping to guide that process. Because as you noted, like we had a recommendation from someone else, which was the first bullet list of items above. And my honest assessment is the work we've done so far is much more complete in terms of guiding the future process. So I mean, there's other items you don't think we included on the list, you know, let's add them, but my personal recommendation wouldn't be to spend too much time fine-tuning this list because it's going to be worth it after you do the plan.
Well, it might be worth adding things to it to qualify. Like you were saying, it's a little bit disorganized.
Yes.
That can lead to steps backwards.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to add something that I've been working on myself, because I'm on another committee where I'm the kind of the go-to guy, the quality of resiliency
mm-hmm.
is a result either, in my opinion, is a result either of adaptation, mitigation, or fair adaptation. And I think that, you know, if you look at mitigation, it's the lowest level. Mitigation responds to systems as we have them without questioning them particularly. Adaptation is steps to change the system we have, and paradigm changes to address different concepts and leave behind the system we have. So to me, that would be three levels. And, you know, most people like the term mitigation and adaptation, kind of like you use the word healing and emotion, and we don't even understand why there are two words. So mitigation is really the most conservative of all. It doesn't really question anything. It just says, can we make it better? Can we squeak it? Can we remove this chemical or add something else that we aren't doing to make it better? So I think that would be something to address in, well, there's these differentiations you can make. And it, to my mind, that leads to something like a matrix, where the topics we actually put on this list have relationships which are different according to different ways of looking at things. So if you look at mitigation, those three differentiations, but then you can also look at something like, okay, is everybody eating in town right now or in the island? Is everybody eating now? These things have a different impact than if you're saying, okay, say we're cut off from the mainland, or say we have, you know, a deep freeze for 3 weeks. We freeze up at minus 20 for 3 weeks, that destroys so much of our local food. Where does that leave us, right? All of those things can be, and they're addressed in a different way. So what we can do is provide, add to this list those kind of qualifying factors that we think are important to, you know, structure the differentiation of these individual points into their deeper meaning, which the experts would do.
Can I follow up on that? I would suggest that rather than being a hierarchy of importance, mitigation, adaptation, and paradigm shift would have to happen concurrently, at the same time that any government level from this town to the state would be trying to increase the mitigation factors to reduce basically methane and CO2 emissions through various means. And at the same time, having to adapt to the fact that there's going to be disasters, there's going to be shortages, there's going to be a real disparity in food availability and so on. Those have to happen concurrently. And then the, and the paradigm shift part, I think would come in under adaptation, but might be the kind of thing that the town would lead by example. For instance, the idea of only serving plant-based foods at events and so on, or endorsing a plant-based diet to try to make that paradigm shift in agriculture or in food consumption, because a large part of the problem with food availability is the fact that the well-to-do consume so much more protein, while the poor end up eating starchy foods and being unhealthy.
One thing, I would just add one thing, paradigm change would go further than just that. I think paradigm change actually opens the door to radical changes that maybe we don't even think of yet. So it just kind of allows you to have a bigger, like, it allows you to have that open door to things that aren't on the table even right now.
Yeah, I agree. For instance, economic disparity, but the fact that, you know, North Americans consume huge amounts of meat and sugar and coffee and things that are grown in poor countries instead of growing food for their own consumption. These are exports for wealthy countries. And there needs to be a huge paradigm shift in terms of our attitude toward importing basically land, the use of land in other countries and for the benefit of the wealthy countries.
we get much bigger than Quality Beach.
Yeah.
Start thinking in those terms.
Definitely.
Well, there is another, there's one climate aspect that I've been looking at, is that the climate here on average is not going to change that much. We're in a lucky spot. It's probably going to get about 1 or 2 degrees warmer. We're moving up one climate zone. I think you see that on the maps. But what that means is that we're going to have more extreme weather than we've had.
Yeah.
That may be something that's pretty clear that, you know, you're going to have drought years, you're going to have really wet years to make up the difference so that it averages the same. And that will be different. And whatever that is, that should be part of the way this thing is structured. It should be a value built into the, you know, a variable, let's put it that way, a variable that allows for extremes, which relates to things like storing food. There's in the Bible, if they have a famine every 7 years, that's what they plan for. And we kind of do just in time delivery here, and if we don't have it, we just pay some poor country to sell us what they have. Maybe. I don't know. But that would be another factor. Like, I'm following along this idea of, like, just putting on the list of things that should be considered, right?
Right.
So we're going to the more the meta level.
I wonder if, like, under increase food storage capacity, if we said increase resiliency, and then as an example, food storage capacity, extreme weather fluctuations.
Yeah, we keep partnerships to exchanges. If there's different parts of the island, say, that are having different kinds of weather, so if you identify the partnerships for situations like that, which relates to a regional approach. And that's similar for disaster recovery capacity as well. Share equipment up and down the island, because getting across the water is another step, more difficult step. What about petroleum reserves? How much oil is brought onto the island, and is it stored, or is it just brought in long trucks on the ferry every few days? I mean, do they actually store it on the island, or is it just brought in trucks? If there's no fuel, how do you get up and down the island? People have reneged on the railway agreement that we had a long time ago. So that also, like, how do you move stuff around? Like, if people are starving in the north of the island because of something or don't have food and there's no more oil for the same reason, how do they get the food? So that goes in there too.
Basically, concern about that is just on electricity. Like, most of our electricity doesn't come from here.
Yeah, right.
And you can imagine an event that the main power transmission corridors that bring electricity from the interior or the north would be shut down for a week or two.
Refrigeration.
But even think of how would that even operate if the electricity was off? I guess they have a generator. But it's probably only a fuel. Like, it would really slow the food system into chaos to be without electricity for a week or a month. I think, want to focus on things, for the most part, that are within what the town of Balkan Beach can do something about.
Right.
Because it's such a big problem and a big system that we could easily, you know, go off to try to fix the whole system worldwide, globally, but I don't think that will be particularly useful to our town council in terms of their deliberations about what they should do about it.
So categorically, there's a bunch of ideas that should be in here, but there should be another focus on what exactly are the key points for Qualicum to deal with, for its scale and its location.
I would say, from this, the discussion we've been having, that food self-reliance would be the most important thing. I mean, as long as there were a lot of producers actually producing food in this region, so much in our climate can stay in the ground, doesn't have to be stored, doesn't have to be shipped. And the other part of it is shortening the supply lines. So instead of relying on all kinds of inputs from outside, that would be the ideal community for climate change, is one that is self-reliant, doesn't rely on
imports from long, from far distances and has some level of food self-reliance. And this gets right back to the question of protecting land for food production. And already we see in the small amount of ALR we have that properties are becoming sterilized for agriculture through the construction of mansions with large driveways and so on. And what can the town do to prevent the loss of what remains? And also possibly what steps to be taken to protect larger lots with agricultural capabilities that may not be in the ALR, but could easily be used? Or even how could every lot in Qualicum Beach, a lot of which are larger than needed, could be turned to food production?
Well, I think to your first part, you talked about self-sufficiency, and that is contained within the current recommendation to council, and that's investigate ways to increase community self-sufficiency and regional food sufficiency. To your second point, I thought it was really interesting. Council got a letter from Pitt Meadows. They have three resolutions going to UBCM in 2 weeks. And they were all ways to try to increase the viability of agriculture. So one is a school tax exemption. And the idea would be to call on the province to amend the school act to remove the 50% school tax exemption for vacant and unused land and residential purpose land in the ALR. So that's one of them. One is an unfarmed land tax, so that's calling on the province to establish a targeted unfarmed land tax to discourage speculation and encourage farming in the ALR.
Mm.
And the other one is a minimum income requirement for farm classification. So there's currently you have to farm a certain space of land as well, an area of land as well as an income threshold, and they're requesting that it be raised, I think, to income of $7,000, which isn't a huge amount of...
That's a gross income?
Yeah. A single minimum gross farm income of $7,000. So anyways, but it's interesting, I think, that other places are looking at how do we encourage the land in the ALR to actually be farmed and discourage them to be sitting empty or used for other purposes.
Those are excellent recommendations, but also is there any possibility of protecting larger lots with agricultural capability that aren't in the ALR? Every now and again we see development proposals to put residential on large lots.
Our planning staff maybe answer that one.
Yeah, it would be very tricky.
It would be tricky.
Well, we don't have too many. I mean, there have been a few that have come forward in recent years, like Pheasant Glen, one is Honeycomb Press Drive. I mean, effectively, the challenge is this. Councils always have discretion to change land use. So we could put restrictions on land, but the same powers that enable this council to put restrictions on land would allow the next council to take the restrictions off the land. So in answer to your question, I love the idea of providing some kind of like a long-term permanent protection. But I think the best way, my opinion is the best way to do that is through like public awareness and making sure that like the community, that's the direction the community supports, right? You know, because it's that momentum that kind of keeps planning it alive in long term.
And we do have quite a bit of land in the ALR or that's zoned agricultural.
That's right.
Do we know what percentage that would be, or?
Quite a bit, yeah. So, I mean, there's over 500 hectares. That's,
right?
That's
500 hectares.
500 hectares.
That's some of it's forested, though.
A lot of area of our land is forest, right? Sure.
So you wouldn't want to cut the forest to plant beans?
Kind of a complex, yeah.
Doesn't the agricultural, last time I looked, the Agricultural Land Commission Act did not allow municipalities to prevent tree removal on ALR for farming?
That's correct.
So how much land is kind of, what's the, I don't know this, but maybe easy to go by coincidence. How many hectares of land does it take to feed 1,000 people in Canada?
Depends on what they're eating.
Say you're plant-based and you take you import your meat with trucks from California and you just eat just for plant, like a plant-based diet, roughly. Then you can have chickens or something that
goes into an agricultural landscape very easily.
Those kinds of things, even pigs.
Yeah.
You know, small amount of pigs and chickens. So you can say there'd be some meat, but there must be a number for that. I've never looked.
All land is rated in terms of class. So class 1 is land that's so good it can produce anything.
Yes.
And then class 6 is basically grazing land, and you can only graze animals on it. And in between are the steps of what it can produce. So you can produce, in the lower mainland, 3 crops a year full out on class 1. And on class 6,
So how many hectares would it take to support a town of 15,000 people? Or Baldwin is 15,000.
Well, it depends on the quality of the land.
I know, still answer the question.
And the quality of the farmers, because there are farmers and there are farmers. Some can really grow food well, and some of them can't.
And there's different kinds of farming, right? If you talk about producing canola in Alberta, that's a different kind of relationship than having a farm that produces a variety of... But, for example, as I think I mentioned last time, I know Vienna quite well. There are farms in the perimeter of Vienna which have been taken over by a concept that the land is let to individual households or people on different levels. Like, you can have a certain piece of land which is your produce for the summer or for the season, and that can be done entirely to be done by their staff in part, or done entirely by them, their staff. So they have these grades where you can spend as much time weeding or growing as you like. And there's something like 15% of the population of Vienna engages that in some way. That's a tremendous number, and it's increasing because they use the farmland around the perimeter of the city, which is strongly defined. It's very, very rigid edge. So they have nearness, like you literally go across a little ditch and there's the farm. And you don't have it. But concepts like that can be brought in, and that may lead to the other common name you could have is like a definitive idea of how you treat food is like a food commons. Right? Where, the whole thing about having agriculture, you can talk about land, but the economics of it is crazy. Right? It doesn't relate to the amount of food or the value of the food whatsoever. The economics of farming is entangled with banking and finances and all those things so badly that we can talk about land use, but it actually wouldn't make much difference. So the idea of taxation on the land starts to address that, right? Those would have to be part of this plan. All of that would have to be included in the plan here.
Yeah.
This kind of naive, superficial thing.
We do suggest that the plan investigates ways to increase the economic viability of farming.
Right. That definitely has to be unpacked.
Yeah.
It's worth noting that recommendation that what is Pitt Nevels is looking at doesn't achieve that. It takes away from the economic viability of living on ALR and land and not farming it.
Right.
It doesn't improve the economic viability of farming it. It just takes away the 50% exemption.
It's a punishment.
Yeah, and that could be an okay thing to do, but it wouldn't make a big difference to people who are wealthy and want to have McMansion on ALR land. It's not a lot of money. Another thing that's important to remember is ALR classification is not a very good indicator of whether the land could or should be farmed. I happen to notice, because I own land on Mosquito Island, it's in the ALR, it's completely impossible to farm. It's too steep to stand on. I mean, if you try to stand on it, you fall over. And yet it's ALR, because it was, I don't know if you remember what happened back in the 70s when they established the ALR. They wanted to do it very fast because they were worried about speculation. And they basically took Canada land inventory information that they collected at 150,000 and said, okay, that's the ALR. And,
the other thing is you put unbuildable land into ALR. It's unfarmable, it's also unbuildable.
Yeah. And another thing to keep in mind, too, is this question of do we want to promote farming on ALR land? Because as you mentioned, a lot of it is forested. We have another piece of property on Mosquito Island. We went through a huge process to put a conservation covenant on it. There's a 100-year-old forest and a wetland on that, and we wanted to protect that. And the Agricultural Land Commission was very resistant to the idea of protecting that. It's habitat for endangered species. We have the biologists in to look at it. They were very resistant to the idea of putting a conservation covenant on it because they said, no, we want to keep that land available for you to clear cut that forest and then, you know, graze horses on it, for example. So, or, you know, which is perfectly acceptable use in the ALR. Or, so, you know, which
all these things are, like the idea of the Agricultural Land Reserve was that it was a rough outline of arable land in the province, and that there was the mechanism for exclusions. So that if a homeowner or a property owner decided that this land was absolutely not arable, they could apply for exclusion. And that was the mechanism by which properties that weren't arable could be removed from the ALR. But a lot of this is sort of out of the hands of municipalities, and that it comes under the Act, and that whether or not a person who owns property decides to take down the trees and farm it wouldn't be a local government decision. It's a provincial decision.
But it can be influenced locally.
Now, I guess now this is where we start to weigh the benefits of food security versus the benefits of removal of CO2 from trees, by trees. It's
going to
be a trade-off.
There's an interesting point about that. I was just reading this interesting book called Not the End of the World, a chapter on food, and I learned a bunch of things that I didn't know about the food system. And there's a lot of stuff that I didn't know, but one of the interesting things is she makes a convincing case that the world has reached peak agricultural land, and we're not increasing the amount of land in agriculture. It's starting to go down. Because even though the population is increasing, yields are increasing faster. And she makes the argument there isn't really a problem of needing to find more agricultural land in order to feed people. It's more the distribution of food and the big problem of the switch to. The big problem is animal-based versus plant-based agriculture. Because animal-based agriculture, it doesn't use twice or five times as much land as plant-based agriculture. It uses like 20 or 30 times as much land per gram of protein. So that really is the huge problem. We could take half of the agricultural land in the world and rewild it, or more, if we switch primarily to a plant-based diet. So,
well, I mean, you can't take, as I was saying, grazing land and grow carrots and lettuce on it. It just won't produce market vegetable operations. It's really only good for animal grazing. So that, I think, is something that we have to take into consideration. The province is full of completely different growing areas, some of which, yes, should only be used for crops, and other areas can only be used for grazing. So
I think he was just saying that we're talking about the area that's being used now.
What's all that?
Yeah,
all that.
Yeah. To bring in an area that is not arable is not the issue here.
That it's arable in that it'll support livestock, but it won't support market vegetables. It won't support horticulture.
I think it's interesting that you use the term market vegetables, because we know that over 50% of the food that's grown is never eaten.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other aspect. So if you talk about half of it for animal food, then you can take away another half, because we don't even eat half the food that we grow.
Mm-hmm.
So that means we're down to a quarter. We need ballpark. But, I mean, we'll never eat all the food we grow. But if we're at half, because I think you're all familiar with that, right? But we half of the food is either left in the field or otherwise destroyed right to our fridges, where we throw a third of the food we buy away.
And that gets into the whole distribution question. And if we bring it back to the Qualicum Beach, how could Qualicum Beach ensure that what's being grown in this immediate region on all the fruit trees or so on could be distributed around and be part of the economy rather than waste? How could people who are growing things in one area ensure that they can sell them? I mean, here we have the farmers market, but if you go to U.S., they're not selling stuff that's grown in Arrington. And what can Qualicum Beach do about that?
Well, if they are, it's being shipped to Vancouver to be packaged and returned back to the U.S. for sale.
I know that in Nelson they collected the fruits from the trees.
There are gleaners in this area, the PQB Fruit Project or something, and they have all the apples that I think it's the Mac or somewhere they are distributed. So people can it is happening to some extent in this community. So we're at almost an hour of talking about this. We do have a motion on the table, which is that the Environment and Sustainability Committee recommends to Council that the 2026 Food Action Plan Strategic Initiative include the following considerations, and then we identify a whole number of them, and further that the terms of reference for the Select Committee on Environment and Sustainability be amended to include food security. So are we missing anything? Is there any amendments that people have? Or you had some concern about having it under this umbrella, but maybe for the interim or something along those lines? Angela?
I think we just got so off topic of talking about the environment. Like, this is the perfect example today. So I'm wary of it, but I understand that resources are thin.
Mm-hmm.
I support what staff is recommending here, just that last part. If it can be maybe on a temporary basis, I feel that our foot doesn't end up living here and consuming all these things, especially if it's an initiative that's pushing forward to 2026, that it's ramping up. Yeah.
Okay, so we'll just say at this time or something like that, or on a temporary basis?
Oh, I don't agree that food security would not be considered part of our remit, which is sustainability, the Environment and Sustainability Committee, and what we've been looking at mostly has been climate change, how to mitigate, how to adapt, and that's food security is simply one aspect of that. So I don't even know whether it has to be in a separate category, as though we're not, you know, looking at it as part of environment and sustainability. It is a critical, possibly one of the most critical aspects of sustainability.
I agree with you, but there are aspects there that are FSTAB related or public safety related or emergency preparedness related. And so on a temporary basis, I do supporting the discussion for council. But once it gets to 2026 where the plan's being developed, I think it comes way out of our lane. Happy to contribute about the part that overlaps with environment and sustainability for sure, but a lot of these pieces aren't that. Sorry.
Oh, I was going to suggest that because there's three items on the agenda. One is rescinding the previous council motion.
Yep.
The other is putting new items on the food security to-do list, I guess you could say, for 2026. Mm-hmm. And then the third one is about whether or not food security becomes a part of the terms of reference for this group. So I was hoping that we could just finish up those other ones and then move on, because otherwise we'll just...
Mm-hmm. I would say that food security should absolutely permanently be part of this group.
Can we come back to that?
Because I think that the others that have their remits, their voice issues, should also contain food security from their point of view, rather than making it a permanent, a single thing. Food security from the environmental position, from how we live in the environment, is number one. Like, that's what the environment has been for. If you talk about monkeys or any other, the animal side of being human, the environment is for food, for nourishment. Now, if we have disaster mitigation and other kinds of city planning and all of that, security is part of their, what they look at too, from their own points of view. So, by saying, by removing it from this, you're taking away a huge chunk, as they say, our pollution comes from food production.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So you have to have it as part of this.
Part. But we're asking, that's being as part of our terms of reference, we would essentially be leading at the committee those types of discussions.
I thought it was one of a bunch, not three.
It doesn't specify.
Yeah.
So it is amended to include.
So yeah, it's including.
I guess I'm concerned with the last two meetings. It's been hours and hours and hours that we've been just talking about the potential plan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's, it's just a concern that I agree. Let's move through it.
So your suggestion then, Luke, is that we vote separate it into three?
Yeah.
Okay. So the first part, we would vote then that on the first part of the recommendation that the council, that the Environment and Sustainability Committee recommends to council that council withdraws the May 3rd, 2023 motion on the floor. Although I do already have a motion on the floor for the whole thing.
Oh, all three together?
Well, that was what I was...
Could we discuss them separately? I'd like to discuss them separately, if you don't mind. Could we vote separately on them?
That's
what you suggested.
Yeah.
On the bulleted ones or the...
No, just the three main motions. The three motions, withdrawal and so on.
So, Brandy, can I ask a quick question to clarify? Did you ever report that these were all together when it was advanced at the beginning of the meeting?
Yes.
Okay, so if it's okay, maybe you could withdraw that motion, and we'll separate the three and advance them independently.
So that would be Michael and Marion who moved and seconded that. So if you were okay with withdrawing that motion? Yeah. Okay. So that motion's withdrawn. And then we will go back to the first part, so about withdrawing the original motion.
I'll move it.
Okay, Marion's going to move that. We have a seconder. Angela's going to move that. Okay, any discussion?
Just to clarify, that is the intent that we'll withdraw that motion that has those five bullets, starting with the role of local government, and then we'll move on to another motion in which we'll suggest that rather than those, we recommend these other points?
Instead of covering ground we already covered.
Okay. With that understanding, I think I'm fine with it.
Okay. So all those in favor? Okay, everybody? Okay. Thank you. So that carries. Okay. So then the next motion is going to be that the Environment and Sustainability Committee recommends to Council that the 2026 Food Action Plan Strategic Initiative include the following considerations. And then that's the list up to identify systematic and physical choke points.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I ask a question? Is this, I missed the last meeting, so I'm not quite clear on what happens with this motion from here. So is this our final kick at this can, and then it goes to
council.
And then does it come back to us, or is this it?
Well, it depends what council chooses to do with it, but it will be in 2026 that the food action plan is resourced. So it would wait until that time.
Oh, I see. Okay. And, okay, so this is the definitive list we can't add to it.
Well, that's what I'm asking, if there is any changes or revisions.
So the discussion started, just so I can, at least the idea of bringing in certain qualifying or meta concerns that would work with the unpacking of this, and of this list, like each item of this list and the interactive qualities, such as discussing things like if this is about individual eating now, today, and about food security for other situations beyond the everyday norm, so-called norm, right? So the list should be addressed in terms of those two layers, as well as other things that were mentioned, such as the influence of climate, and whether we look at things which is more of the remit of this group, is to talk about the influence of climate versus just feeding people, and how those interact in terms of long-term security. And the other one is, what is the relationship between regional concerns and what this town itself can do?
Well, we do talk a little bit about...
There are points on the bullet list, yes, those are.
Yeah.
So, but those are like dimensional, you know, parameters. Like they have, those are like poles or zones of concern, and the committee that works on this has to create values along those lines, has to nail down where this operation is going to happen and how it's going to happen. For example, you can say Qualicum can't do much on its own, but if you talk about regional approach and partnerships, that whole thing turns into a much more complex issue, which a professional team could work on if we can here, right? But it becomes a term of reference, like, what is the relationship between partnerships and regionality to what a little town like Qualicum can do? And where does Qualicum then reset itself properly? So if that's brought into this motion and the town accepts it, then when they give a contract to someone or whatever they're going to do, that becomes part of what they have to work on. If we just give them a list like this, they can just stick to the bullets.
So would you like to amend that then, that ensure there is a regional approach? I mean, are you saying that we ensure there is a regional...
That the relationship between the region and the town is considered in the project?
Okay, so you want to add that as a bullet?
I would add that as...
Okay, well, let's go through this.
Second,
you have to go...
These bullets and then those bullets are handled in terms of...
Yeah, the list be considered in context of...
Reason versus partner and partnerships versus just the town alone.
So
considered in terms, yeah.
We're gonna slow down so we can get a part of the
I'm going now
for the motion here. So you want to amend
or add amend?
You have to amend the motion,
yeah,
to add. And further that, the list be considered in context of and you said Qualicum Beach.
How Qualicum Beach decides to operate in its region. Like, if you want to operate on a wider partnership and regional approach, then there's a question of how much leadership the town takes.
Okay, so how Qualicum Beach operates within
the region, in terms of its partnerships.
Okay.
How this plan relates between feeding people on a daily basis and dealing with things which might fall into the disaster or disaster mitigation program. Like, where is that cut off?
How the plan addresses individual food security and community food security?
Yeah, on a daily basis.
Okay.
Versus, you know, preparedness and resiliency on a broader scale with things that are not daily, on a daily basis. Like, how does it, like, where is that balance that the town is aiming for? And then, yeah, so is it going to be only for daily food purposes, or is it going to be also a plan that includes eventualities, like preparing for the 7-year drought or whatever it is, you know, biblical drought. Like you're preparing for long, what do you
recall? We kind of need a framework to look at individual versus community, short-term versus long-term.
Yeah, what do you say long-term, yeah. So that balance has to be struck by the committee developing this plan. And the third one, of course, is the relationship that it has to climate issues. Like, is it promoting a positive mitigation policies, or do we just stick to feeding people and that's it? So those questions have to be developed, or as the responses have to be developed. So the reason I would propose putting those three in is so that it becomes part and actually starts to define if you're going to contract. I don't know, are they going to contract this?
I don't know.
Okay,
I don't know.
So say they contract it to something like Stantec, right? If Stantec gets a bullet list, their results are bullet list. If Stantec gets questions that say, look, you've got to create some values here, then they have to go out and do that. That becomes part of their work. And if you don't put it in there, they're not going to invent it.
Okay, so this is what I have for the amendment. Amended the motion to add, and further that the list be considered in context of how Qualicum Beach operates within the region, how the plan addresses individual food security and community food security on a daily basis, as well as a long-term approach, and how the plan addresses climate impacts.
Yeah, that would be good. That makes sense?
The regional issue is addressed in the first bullet, or the first bullet, ensure there's a regional approach. But the individual versus community, I guess maybe that's important. But the one that I would agree with is the mitigation, that really isn't covered in the list so far. Ensure that Qualicum Beach is mitigating impacts of agriculture on climate change.
We could strike the first bullet to make clear that there's two levels of bullets here, two types of bullets. The first bullet is the topics that have to be considered. The second one is more the way in which they're considered.
Would all this be done at the next iteration? If council approves this and sends it back to this committee, we could start to go to
sending it back at this point.
No, I mean in the future, if and when it were to come.
It might not come back to this committee. It could be referred to a new committee. It could be referred to a consultant. It could be referred to staff. Staff person, who knows, right? So there's no guarantee that this is coming back to this committee.
Okay. Well, I mean, we could spend many, many meetings, as you say, unpacking each of those.
I know. And kind of we're not being asked to do that. We're not being asked to do that.
Yeah. That's what I mean, that maybe we just have to leave this skeleton and see what council does.
Right. So my hope is that this other level of bullets creates a bit more consciousness to the process.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think, as Marian says, we could fine-tune it and we could make it better, but given short time, I think what you've added there does add a bit of structure around those recommendations that would be helpful.
So we need to get the motion clear so that it's reflected accurately in the minutes.
Yeah.
And so what I have as an amendment is, and further that the list be considered in context of, and then you said you wanted to strike the first one?
I'm suggesting that maybe it would be clearer if the first bullet on the original list is removed because we're repeating it again, as Marion said.
What?
By finding a balance between a regional and a local approach, it could stay in, but it's not critical. But the first point we're finding is developing that balance and the functionalities and interactions between a regional, the region, whatever we define it as, could be island, could be mid-island, could be just the next town, and what a small town can actually be doing, depending on how that's valued, as I said before, that may mean that quality
design. Yeah, but that we can't put that in a motion, so we just have to figure this out.
Sorry, I'm going off again.
Yeah,
finding the balance between regional and small town capabilities.
Balance between regional and small town
capacity.
Okay. So the motion that I would have now is, and further, that the list be considered in context of finding the balance between regional and small town capacity, how the plan addresses individual and community food security on a daily and long-term basis, and how the plan addresses climate impacts.
Very close. Even in 9 out of 10.
Do you want to say climate mitigation, adaptation, impact?
Climate impacts of the food system.
Of the food system. Okay. So that is an amendment that Michael was putting forward. Okay, and do we have a seconder? Doug or David? Okay. Okay, so all those in favor of the amendment?
Everybody's in favor?
Great, so the amendment carries. And now we go back to adopt the whole motion, which will include the first list as well as the addition. Okay? Okay. I didn't understand that. I thought we were withdrawing that first group.
We did.
Not
yeah,
the first group on the second page. Not the first group of the considerations.
The one that says, and further that the council, that the Environment Sustainability Committee, et cetera, ensure, no, just a minute, the council withdraw the May 3rd, 2023
yes.
motion, that all those are being withdrawn, not put into the next list?
Right. So that motion's already been withdrawn.
Okay.
Now we're on the second one, which that the Environment and Sustainability Committee recommends to council that the 2026 Food Action Plan Strategic Initiative include the following considerations,
okay.
all of the bullets, as well as, and further that, the list be considered in context,
right,
the amendment, right?
Oh, didn't we just vote on that?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's the amendment.
You
should clear
it up.
Okay.
So, but I should have had them the motion on the table.
So it's there. So we've
well, we need the whole thing moved.
So we have to repackage this one again. So we split it into.
No, we just need for this section has not been moved and seconded yet. So the amendment's been approved. Just weird.
Okay, we
didn't
do that.
It was amended. It was moved as amended.
Yeah.
Okay.
Seems a little
okay.
And the third point, are we?
Yes, so we still have to do that one. Yeah. So.
You guys are the experts.
Third motion, that the terms of reference for the Select Committee on Environment and Sustainability be amended to include food security. Now, do we want to say on a temporary basis? Did you want to move that?
I don't want it at all, if I'm honest.
So, okay, so you probably will vote against the motion as it. Okay. So, do I have a mover for that? Motion that the terms of reference for the Select Committee on Environment and Sustainability be amended to include food security.
Already on that list? What else are the terms of reference?
Well, the terms of reference, you should have been provided at once.
I
like 10-page list of
Up there, I didn't do my homework, but I don't remember my homework.
Oh, here you are.
Okay. So there are quite a few things in there. Purpose of the committee, terms of reference, composition of the committee advisory, members at large term, composition of the committee. So there isn't anything here that refers to the actual subject matter directly, is there? Environmental policies, environmental protection measures, plans, studies, initiatives related to the environment.
And
environmental concerns brought by the... I think that in one sense, if you look at these, you don't need to add it because it's in there, depending on your opinion. Her opinion says it's not. I would say it is.
Well, we're just being, official about it, so
it's a matter of a clarification.
It's a clarification whether it's going to be included or not.
So far, I would say that the motion is maybe not particularly correct because it's hard to say that it's not already included.
Well, we're specifying it.
So we'd be specifying it. Specifically going to be made a... Then it would be out of balance because then you'd have to start naming other specific issues that some people may not feel are appropriate or are appropriate. You see the difficulty? If you add that particular subtopic, then you have to make under A whole lot of subtopics.
That's the rule of the committee. So if somebody wants to move the motion, then
I so move.
Okay, so Marion's going to move the motion, and Doug's going to second it.
So this is what
and now we can have a discussion about
sorry,
the motion.
Sorry, okay. Yeah. Bizarrely, I'm not really for it now.
Well, I would say...
I'm not for it, but I think it's already included.
Well, no, I don't think it is, in that obviously here at this table we have a disagreement that it is part of the terms of reference for this committee. So that in itself would suggest that it's a good idea to specify and clarify that it is in fact a concern of this committee.
Okay.
So I think that there's good reason to include it because, for instance, the public that might not see the connection between food security and sustainability and the environment. So I don't think it will hurt, and I think it would probably help to specify and include it.
Okay, it's a connection, but I think that it's an overwhelming topic that's taking over our main focus.
Yeah, yeah. It was just asked by the council to talk about it. That's what we've been talking about. If they hadn't asked, we wouldn't talk about it. So it's not really overwhelming, except for we were actually tasked with it. I understand your point of view that we've been talking about it for two sessions now, but
one item for two sessions.
Well, but that happened for other sessions. We talked about one item for more than one session as well, and so. But there's two issues. One is if they didn't ask us to do it, we wouldn't particularly because there's lots of different things to talk about. Number two, as Marion says, I think it's important to specify it because people may not think that it's part of it, which I personally also believe. But what happens to those terms of reference if you specify justice? Then you get something that's out of balance. And then I agree with you more that it shouldn't be specifically named because then that would create the wrong impression as well. And people would talk about it too much because then they'd say, oh, we haven't talked about food. What about that, you know?
Well, I guess it maybe would help clarify for council whether or not we're going to refer items of food security related to food security to this committee or not.
So we could propose something where we say, we're willing to talk about food and in various perspectives as part of the mandate that's already written down. We don't have to specially single it out.
Well, let's not, they always say about these things that they're living documents and that things can be amended, that they evolve as more awareness comes. I mean, when was that terms of reference written? And since then has the issue of food security become more in the forefront? And say in a couple of years some other issue might come to the forefront that wouldn't have been considered to be part of our mandate. So it's these living documents.
I think I think on a global scale, food security would be an environmental issue in terms of Qualcomm, not so much.
Okay, does anybody else have any comments before I call the vote?
Well, I guess we understand that our agenda is set by the council. We don't make up our own agenda. They asked us to talk about this, and we talked about it. So whether we pass this motion saying that our terms of reference should be amended or not, it's really up to council whether they bring up, refer specific questions to us. So I don't think we need this motion for that reason.
So you can say no.
Well, what was
that's my tendency. I don't think we need this motion.
So what was referred to council was this motion. This council referred this motion to the committee.
Right. The motion that the terms of reference to the committee be amended to food security. So do you think the council is asking us to do that?
Yeah.
Yes. Council has asked to vote on it. So it's, I think council's trying to get the pulse whether this committee feels like they want to
okay.
be concerned with this.
Yeah. Whoa, so we're going to get the wrong impression if we say no.
Correct.
Well,
thing would be, I can't speak for the rest of the council, but I would
say they no and replace it with a different motion. Add another motion saying that we have nothing against including it, but we don't want to specify it about other issues that might be.
I just think it's overlap. I could have the same argument about parks and recreation and environment and sustainability, or the airport committee and environment and sustainability. Absolutely.
They're all relevant at moments when the council wants to ask. So the way this is worded makes it a wrong impression if we say no, because we're not against talking about it.
As it relates to environment sustainability, am I going to talk about cold storage?
No.
I don't. And that's what I wouldn't appreciate here in this space, is talking about things like that.
Cold storage.
Or banning certain types of agriculture. I don't think that's actually accurate, but...
It could be a specific moment for the town where somebody, say somebody wants to build cold storage facility in town for some purpose, and we have to discuss what that has to do with our environmental concerns. Then it would be on before this committee, and it would be reasonable.
Mm-hmm. Luke, do you think the intention of this motion was to get the pulse from the committee, or do you think
you were there.
The intention of this motion, well, it was the staff recommendation, probably not
recommendation. It wasn't discussed in council?
Well, it wasn't discussed, but it was probably not discussed in depth because we have a lot of things on the agenda. Right now we have a 300 or 400 page agenda that we're working on.
To trace back the origins of that recommendation in the first place, I think it was made a suggestion made by someone else.
Or was it the mayor?
No, I think it might have originated with the delegation about food security and a committee that includes, they should be a food security committee.
Right.
And I think maybe the discussion involved too, well, could an existing committee do it and then as council, there's a cut. I have to go ahead. Honestly.
So should we just defer it until the next meeting?
No.
My first question is that if council wants to refer something regarding food security to the committee, they'll do it regardless of whether it's a way to identify. But I think there's enough flexibility in the wording of that, of the terms of reference, that council has pretty wide latitude, and adding food security to the list may alleviate the concerns of some people who feel like it's being neglected by the town, but I don't think it makes any difference from a functional perspective.
So, since we have to speak in terms of motions, right? So we have to speak in terms of motions. And if it fails, then we add another motion that says that, well, we don't have, I mean, I don't know how that would work, but we have to clarify to the council that we consider that to be part of what we would, part of the remit that's already there. On a case-by-case basis, that the council speaks to
that. You could say exactly that. You could say that that the selection on environment and sustainability recommends considering food security matters on a case-by-case basis rather than specifically adding them to the terms of reference.
Could we not say that it not be part of our principal mandate, but it could be incidental or
it's part of it.
We're just happy to consider all matters related to food security that's aligned with our committee's mandate.
I think that food security does belong here. And for instance, I've been looking at the International Panel on Climate Change. They have an entire section devoted to food security because internationally that's considered an important part of the response to climate change. So I don't see the problem with this. I think that it is an important part of what we should be considering along with, you know, the urban forest or transportation. I mean, we could have the same discussion about everything. I think that it is an important part of sustainability. That is our terms of reference, and we should not let council think that we're not interested in this topic.
Exactly.
I personally would think it would be very interesting if council were willing to return this back to this committee in 2026 and be able to feed into a whole food security or food strategy or whatever it's going to be called. I think that we would be losing that opportunity if we shut them down now.
The idea was not to shut them down. The idea was to say it's not a specific focus.
Okay, so they're not saying that this is supposed to be our focus. They're just saying it's supposed to be added. Environment and sustainability and food security.
But it would be the only thing that's added.
Well, who knows? Maybe next year they would have some other.
Maybe could we just find a happy medium where there's no single topic of any kind that goes over a certain amount of time and before we table it to the next meeting? Because I think that's where I'm kind of maybe just getting caught up in this whole food security thing. I agree. We're here to serve council, and I'm happy to, you know, consider anything they want us to consider. But the amount of time we let get away from us, in particular, when this isn't necessarily the main theme of why we're here, we can kind of go off spiraling in many directions. So that could help support us in supporting them on a more broad scale just by, you know, managing the time a little bit better.
Yeah.
The last few meetings I've been at, I honestly think we've been through one item or not even. We just have to cut it off. I don't know. It's just a suggestion.
I mean, I think we have other things on our plate, such as the urban forest management plan that we haven't even got to yet in terms of
on our plate.
There's nothing else referred to this committee at this time.
No.
Right.
Except for the plant-based one.
Plant-based one.
Hmm.
And the plant-based one, yeah, we didn't get to the plant-based one, I guess. But
what we have time to do it is we could deal with this thing.
I thought we
were almost there. I thought we were going to say
we did defeat
that first motion about adding it to the mandate, and then the second motion advising council that the committee is pleased to consider issues that they refer to us, including food security, as we see fit, within our existing mandate.
Is that not it? Yeah, that's it.
I mean, does that work for everybody?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to take the vote on the first motion. All those in favor?
I'm sorry, I've lost track. What are we talking about?
The motion on the table is that the terms of reference for the Select Committee on Environment and Sustainability be amended to include food security.
Yay.
So, all those in favor? Okay, all those opposed? Okay, so the motion is defeated. And Doug, you wanted to make a follow-up motion or
different? The committee moves to advise council that the committee is pleased to consider topics referred to us by council, including topics related to food security as they see fit within our existing mandate. Is that okay? Or
yeah,
that's
within
our terms of reference.
Do I have a seconder for that? Angela? Okay. All those in favor? Any opposed? Okay. That carries. Okay. So we've been at this for about basically less than, well, 20 minutes left, really. We don't really want to take staff beyond their work day. So do we want to tackle this one?
Sure.
Okay.
Get that off. See if we can get something new.
Okay, so the recommendation from staff is that the committee
we're supposed to make comments.
Uses this sort of format, that the Select Committee on Environment and Sustainability recommends to Council that Council consider the following Select Committee on Environment and Sustainability comments when responding to the October 3rd, 2023 email from a plant-based treaty supporter requesting the Town of Qualicum Beach endorse the plant-based treaty. So, any comments that the committee would like to insert?
We outlaw meat in Qualicum Beach. All four?
I think the idea of a plant-based diet is something that the town could endorse. We all know that it's a very healthy approach, that it would help to reduce impacts on the environment to some extent. Having said that, I don't think the plant-based treaty is the avenue to take for council. I think that council would risk offending animal agriculturists, for instance, the producers who sell at the market, Alana's Acres and the guy who does the organic free-range farming. I think that a much better approach would be something like the approach that is referenced in the plant-based treaty, like they reference the International Panel on Climate Change, and in their food security and food strategy sections, they talk about the EAT Lancet study that was done that talked about the ideal diet. And the ideal diet includes a very, very small percentage of animal protein. And a very large, you know, half of the diet should be vegetables, and the rest legumes, nuts and seeds, and then a very small percentage of meat. So I think it would be much less offensive, but still attain the same end, if we were to suggest to council that this diet, this study, would be a much more scientifically based approach to advocating for a healthier diet for humans and the planet, without the sort of somewhat moralistic flavor that the plant-based treaty takes.
I think we're just being asked how this treaty relates to food security specifically, right?
A specific question.
Yeah.
Council, Beat recommends council that we consider. We have to make a commentary on
which aspects relate to food security.
On how this treaty relates to food security.
Right. And this is the part where I feel like we get out of our lane. Like, for example, my response is clearly when they lower the cost of healthier plant-based foods so people can access them.
Okay, this is a staff recommendation. Is that part of the motion that what we're being assigned to do? Like,
they've just provided a framework for us to work within.
Okay, so the staff recommendation is not what the council is directly asking. What they're asking is the relationship to food security.
Right.
Can I jump in? The wording in the staff recommendation is just to give you a head start in terms of formatting a recommendation. So whatever your comments are, you know, just bullet point them when they're done, and then they get appended in that list there, and then they go to council.
Yeah.
So my comment would be similar to what Marianne said, that, you know, there's a lot of good stuff in here, but I couldn't support council endorsing it because there's a lot of problematic stuff in here too, including things. It would be kind of meaningless for council to endorse this, for instance, no building of new animal farms when they know perfectly well they don't have the authority to do that because of the AOR Act. Or similarly, wording like reforestation of the oceans could kind of expose us to ridicule. What does that even mean, to plant forests in the ocean?
Where does it say reforestation of the
oceans? Reforestation and restoration of the oceans. Is
restoration of the oceans, meaning that we...
Okay, but my point is it's poorly written, really, and not well thought out. All existing marine protected areas should be directly declared strictly no fishing areas. This would be extremely problematic for coastal First Nations who have worked hard to develop marine protected area strategies that allow them to practice traditional food harvesting within what are otherwise considered no harvesting zones. So even though this document says several places things about respecting indigenous rights, it's clearly written by somebody who doesn't understand what that means and doesn't really seem to be interested in finding out about it. So I think it's a really problematic document, and I would definitely not support council endorsing it. At the same time, I think it would be great if we could put something in our motion that we recognize the importance of switching away from animal-based diet towards plant-based diet as part of long-term sustainability strategy for many reasons, and that maybe if we wanted to, we could pull that into some recommendation for the, what's it called, the food strategy when it comes up, the food action plan, that the benefits of a plant-based diet be considered in the food action plan.
So you have to the benefits of promoting?
Those would be my points. Sorry, did I speak too faster?
Yeah, well, that's okay.
That's normal.
Yeah,
I think we're just looking at it more locally than just this big, because this big vision, it creates a lot of issues as you addressed, and I don't need to repeat them, and I agree with that. But locally, we could potentially start to expose plant-based diet or health gardens, community gardens, just in the schools in Qualicum, or something simple that we can do on a local level that somewhat supports parts of it, supports a lot of other things too, but most importantly, just supports the health of our community. So maybe just taking aspects of this to help guide how we might become a healthier community. But adopting this as a whole is problematic. There was some language just even referred to people of color, which I felt was an offensive use of language in the way that it was used. And their intention was not that, but it's just it doesn't feel like quality.
No. And parts of it are totally irrelevant to our situation. For instance, it blames loss of species diversity and water quality and loss of forest lands and wild everything on animal agriculture, whereas in BC, the cause of all these things is more like forestry as opposed to animal agriculture. You know, these are specific issues that relate to different areas, and as you were saying, it's just too general, too global, and too exaggerated, really.
So does anybody have any points, specific points that they want to include in the motion? So these are supposed to be comments for response to the request.
Well, you could say it's overly generalized, and in many ways doesn't relate to our region or locality.
anybody know too? You probably would if it contradicts the OCP.
Well, the OCP would certainly support agriculture.
And economic development.
Yeah. There are parts of the sustainability plan that you identify, I think, even things like aquaculture.
Right.
But that's immediately relevant to the town.
Right.
So, I have a suggestion, you know, just recognizing you got 13 minutes left. If someone has a suggestion or a comment, you could put it forward, and if there's support in the group, you just vote. And so we could, like, knock them off one at a time. You know what I mean? So rather than trying to conclude a lengthy conversation at the end for what we said, just if you think that a comment should be forwarded to council for consideration, bring it up at the group, and then we'll, you know, vote on it when they sign off.
I don't think that this group supports my reading is that we're very positive on this. I feel myself, it's one size fits all. It's meant to be a big hit against animal agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
It's meant as a political tool as much as a practical policy tool to cut down on that as opposed to encouraging, it's more of a hit against that kind of agriculture. And it's meant to be a strong statement, and it just doesn't fit to this area. Like some, like I said, forestry is much more of a problem than animal agriculture right here. So I would say the town shouldn't really take it up.
We could say that while we don't endorse or we don't agree with council endorsing the plant-based treaty, we do agree that the town could endorse plant-based diet as the healthiest for humans and the planet.
Sure.
Okay, I'm all for that. Who supports that? Can it go on this time?
Oh, I support it.
I do, although I'm not 100% sure what the phrase plant-based diet means. Does plant-based diet mean?
Well, I'm looking at a diagram that I got from this EAT Lancet thing. I don't know how I can show this. Anyway, it just shows a diagram. It's a plate. Half the plate is vegetables. About a quarter of it is whole grains, plant-sourced protein, unpasteurized plant oils. I wish I could show it. And then, like, one-tenth of the plate is animal protein, and of that, a mere sliver is red meat, and the rest is eggs, dairy, and poultry. And the suggestion is that the larger amount would be eggs, dairy, and poultry, and then the smallest, in terms of human health and impacts on the planet. So that would be the definition of a plant-based diet, mainly relying on plants for protein and nutrition.
That's great. So can we add to the wording of what we just said when we said plant-based diet, comma, as exemplified by the EAT Lancet diet?
Can we actually remove our preference for any type of diet and just say that we support a healthy diet? Because we have to think of cultural aspects in other cultures that do actually eat a lot of protein, and that's culturally really important to them. So health could be mental health, physical health. I would like to personally stay away from any specific idea of what health means to us, of all of us.
Well, I think that there is a scientific basis for this thing. Like this Eat Lancet diet is the result of scientific studies. So it's looking into what is the healthiest diet for human beings. And, you know, we could agonize over, you know, cultural differences. But, for instance, in the United States, if everybody ate the same diet as the average U.S. person, we would need 178% more agricultural land to support that diet. It's simply impossible. The planet can't support it. So whereas if that kind of Eat Lancet diet were implemented globally, not only would it allow people who are undernourished, and that's about, you know, large portion of the human population, to possibly get more protein and better nourishment, whereas the other large proportion of the population that's grossly overweight from eating too much protein and starchy vegetables. So it's an ideal diet based on scientific principles. And I think in this committee we've always tried to sort of use fact-based, science-based reasoning.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a First Nations person, so I'm just saying that certain animals are very sacred and a part of, I don't know how I would explain it, community health, personal well-being, and in many cultures, many, many cultures. So I would, just the physical health and the longevity of your life is not the only way to look at health. I just want to make sure that we're incorporating everybody's beliefs into what their idea of health is.
So I would say you should move away from language of health.
Yeah, just health in general, whatever.
Have it part of it. You're trying to reduce the use of meat as a large source of people's nourishment. That doesn't impinge on traditional values and traditional things. I mean, if you're living on the north coast of Canada and you're living in a cold environment and you eat mostly animal products, your metabolism is also working in a different way than somebody who's living in the south where the heat is there. Your metabolism can't sustain that diet. And in the north, your metabolism needs that diet where it's cold. It's actually, and in fact, there aren't carrots growing in the ground in the permafrost, are there? So there are reasons for this, and also traditions that relate to those reasons. So the way to approach this is just to the real contaminant here is factory farms and cows luxuriously roaming over the landscape and creating the landscape for themselves as they roam. You know, the fact that vegetables don't grow there isn't just because the land isn't fit for it, it's because the land has been tuned to handle cows wandering on it and grazing. If you took away those cows, the land would change very fast. First Nations used to burn the plains every year to avoid having the forest expand. They actually trimmed the forest by setting fires for thousands of years.
Well, yeah, to grow.
To maintain a big room for the buffalo to run, you know, and all of that because they respected those buffalo and they wanted to maintain them. So there's so many discussions that could go on. So I think the main point is to talk about how we need to de-emphasize the meat for, and we could even say it's temporary. Maybe in 100 years we'll be past this. But right now we can't sustain this kind of meat diet. That's all. And so we're saying we want to avoid the production of meat to the degree possible, and that's our intention. So,
but again, I think that contradicts some of the things the community supports, like farming here in the community. So, time.
No, I wasn't calling time. I'm trying to coalesce around some things that we do. And what I'm sensing is that although the community doesn't support the plant-based treaty as a whole, there are elements of the treaty that the committee could support in the future. I don't know. All I know, it seems to you agree that you don't like the treaty, but it seems everyone might have seen some things in the treaty that they did resonate with. So maybe there's something to say about that. I don't think we're going to hammer any of these other things down.
I don't think so either. You can say, well, we should consider the treaty when we're making further considerations, but there's so many other things to consider as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say my thing is like, no,
just decline it.
Just forget it.
No. Well, that's pretty good. What everybody agrees with, first of all, we say don't endorse it, but include consideration or consider the principles contained within the treaty as useful input to the food action plan.
Yeah, we should actually talk about principles here.
Well, all these points, these bullet points.
I know, but so you can reverse engineer to create principles. You go to beets here, plant-based, why the treaty, safety, and just report. I don't know.
I guess the reason I don't want to just say no to it and then say nothing further is because I think there's a lot of really valuable insight to the point that you just made about animal agriculture, specifically with growing red meat for consumption, is a huge problem. worldwide.
That's the main problem.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest causes of our environmental crisis.
Don't fish or eat native or even go hunting.
Yeah.
The biggest problem is animal agriculture and its massive pollution. And they're sustaining it, like gun production
and
sustaining it. Against any logic, there's that's what we want.
I guess, you know, there's animal agriculture and there's animal abuse, and some of it is horrific. Some of it is perfectly sustainable and appropriate. So I think that we have to avoid. What about endorsing the Eat Lancet diet? I know most of you probably haven't reviewed, so I guess it can't be listed.
Why don't we just answer the motion?
Yeah.
Well, the Environment and Sustainability Committee does not support an endorsement of the treaty.
Yep. That's the motion. The motion on the table is whether we yay or nay to supporting it, right?
Well, I mean, you could say that, or you could say that the Environment and Sustainability Committee does not support endorsement of the treaty, but recommends to Council the principles of the treaty are considered when developing a food action plan.
Some
of the principles.
Yeah.
Because some of it is just exaggeration and generalization, so it wouldn't be relevant.
Yeah, that's why I consider it problematic to recommend it in any way, because we're not able to specifically say what we recommend.
Right. Would it be possible to somehow word it that, but we do recommend that Council endorse a plant-based diet with consideration of cultural differences, especially indigenous cultures? Would that fly?
We're endorsing a plant-based diet, but what we're actually also doing is to remove the harmful the meat agricultural industry influence that we're supporting. We don't want to support that. We don't want to support that industry as much as possible, or that climate influence, all of those things that it creates. We want the town to not support that. And one of the main ways that people simply eat more vegetables and don't depend on a huge steak every day, or fish that can't be sustainably fished at the numbers that they're being fished. You know, all of those things is what we're actually talking about.
What about something like the Environment and Sustainability Committee does not support endorsement of the treaty, but acknowledge the environmental benefits of a plant-based diet.
Plant-based. I personally agree with that. Plant-based is probably not
okay.
The first half of the sentence. That's all we're being asked
okay.
to do. I don't think we have to worry about offending anybody.
Yep.
I don't understand that doesn't mean we hate the environment suddenly and
we are worried about people who think meat is important to their lives and their spiritual well-being.
Yeah.
And I haven't eaten meat since 1992 and I'm doing pretty well. And I don't consider it important whatsoever to my diet or my spirituality. And I think that I'm glad to be free of any responsibility for what the damage is done.
Okay, so would anybody like to move the motion that the Environment and Sustainability Committee does not support endorsement of the treaty?
Yeah.
Angela? Michael? Okay, and can we vote on that? All those in favor? Any opposed? Carried unanimously. There we go.
And if we want to put any other comments on there, that's just we support the general intention of that. There's one.
Okay, so we made it through all of that, and then there's no new business, so we just have adjournment. Motion to adjourn. Done. We're done.